Welcome to the Kara Project Podcast, where we help you build confidence in studying the Bible on your own and with your neighbor. We're so glad you're here. Welcome back to the Kara Project. I'm Heather.
I'm Sarah.
And today we have a special episode for you all as we're bringing on two guests, and even two more special guests than I think we've ever brought on the show, because these are our husbands. Welcome to the show, my husband, Aaron Erickson.
Hi there.
And Sarah's husband, Ivan.
Hi.
We're very excited to have you guys on this podcast. We've been talking for a while recently about this idea of doing Bible study with people from different faith backgrounds. And we thought it'd be interesting. Not only have these guys been joining Sarah and I on our journey here in Utah with studying with people from different faith backgrounds, but you guys have actually been doing it for quite some time before we were even all married. And so we thought it'd be nice to have you share your story, give some perspective, but also it's nice to have a guy's perspective on the show. So welcome. We're excited to have you guys here.
Well, and what's fun is, I mean, they have been doing this since before they, you know, any of us were married. But the irony is, so, and we've shared this once before, I think, but Heather and I have known each other for about 12 years. Here in Utah, we were going to the same church. We met here in Utah. Our husbands, however, have known each other since the early 1980s. They were growing up in Montana in the same Sunday school class. So they've known each other for a long time. There's a long history here. In fact, this is a very monumental moment to have them both agree to be on this podcast. So thank you, boys. We know this was no small ask.
So maybe we should start off. We'll start with a softball question. Aaron, I'm going to throw it to you. I'm curious about your first experience of doing studying the Bible or engaging in a conversation around the Bible with somebody that believed differently than you. I know that was something that happened to you pretty early on.
Yeah, I was in high school, and there was a lady in our neighborhood that needed her lawn mowed, and she was an elderly lady. And so I went to mow her lawn, and after I was done mowing the first time, she wanted to know if I wanted to come inside and talk about the Bible. Okay, kind of an interesting question, and that was fine. And she offered me 7-Up and a cookie, and I thought that was probably a good reason. So went inside and talked to her, and she comes from a different faith tradition. She's Jehovah's Witness, and I hadn't had a lot of exposure to that line of thought in my life at that point, and thought it would be great to have a discussion about the Bible with her. And so that's where it started, and did that for an entire summer, once a week.
And what was that experience like? Like, what was the conversations like? Did you guys go into a lot of depth? Did you have a lot of disagreements? Like, what was that experience like?
Yeah, it was. It turned out there's quite a few differences from what I had always known, or at least thought. And she challenged me on some of the things I thought, and I challenged her on some of the things she thought. And one of the most, I guess, the interesting thing about all of the conversations I had with her was that she could be reading the Bible, and I could be reading the Bible, and we would always bring our own biases and what we always thought into the conversation. And I hadn't really seen that outside of my own faith tradition before. And I watched somebody else doing some of the same things that I was doing, and it forced me to dive a little deeper into the Bible.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm. That's actually really interesting.
I love that, because what an unlikely pairing. Here you are, a high school student, and you're speaking with an elderly woman from a different faith background. And this goes on for like a whole summer.
Yeah, once a week. I got a 7-Up and a cookie every week.
That's the part that you remember the most.
But I remember going home with some questions because she would ask questions that I had never heard before or had even considered. And so it was a really good way to go back and look at, well, what does the Bible actually say about whatever the topic was? Mm-hmm. And that was a fascinating dive into having the faith of my parents become more my faith instead.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that. That's quite a trigger there to force you to go in and ask more questions. So thanks for sharing that, Aaron. And I know, Ivan, you had an experience, I believe it was in college, and not necessarily with someone from a completely different faith background, but even from someone within people within your own faith background. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I went to a Christian university, and showing up, you just assume that everybody believes exactly the same that you do. And I got in a Bible study fairly early on with the RA was the person that was leading it, was in his dorm room. And he had kind of a different upbringing than I did. He was speaking in tongues was something that we came at very differently in what we thought should be normalized and what we thought should be part of prayer or part of church. And this is somebody that I really looked up to and I thought was had a spiritual maturity that was past mine. Partially he was a senior and I was a freshman and had been in Bible school for more years than I did, but I was no slouch. I'd grown up in a Christian family and we had studied the Bible a lot, and I was very confident in what I believed and realized that there were people that were also very confident in what they believed, that believed differently than me. And same kind of like with Aaron, we would read verses, and the way that we were brought up, we read them very differently. And it was interesting to all of a sudden step back and go, okay, how much of this is the way I was taught as a kid versus how much of this is actually what the Bible is saying?
Mm-hmm. I'm curious what, because I think we've all been there, or this is, we can understand this happening, right? You can be in the same church with someone, and you might come with very different backgrounds or beliefs. So this is a scenario that I can imagine us all entering. What did you learn through that? Did anything surprise you?
Well, I learned a lot. I learned I wasn't as right as I thought I was. I learned that the Bible took more work than just being told what it said by somebody else. I think I walked, the more I learned about the Bible and how to interpret what it says, the less confident I was in being 100% certain that I had it right the first time.
I think that humility is incredibly important, and it affects the way we enter into relationships, even our interest and desire into entering in relationships with people from different faith backgrounds, realizing that, gosh, I still have things to learn, right? And so it's more realizing that I think we all still have things to learn in this conversation, and it puts you more on a playing field where it's like, okay, let's have this conversation rather than trying to prove who's right. Like, let's try to understand, grow in our understanding of the Bible together.
Totally. Well, and we've experienced that firsthand as we've, all moved to Utah within the last, 15, 20 years. I think you guys a little bit longer than us. And this idea of hanging out with people from differing faiths, it challenged the way that we thought about the Bible, the way that we approach the Bible. And yet it also was quite encouraging because, Sarah, you and I started doing Bible study with women. We've shared this in our story in episode 80 about doing Bible study with people from different faith backgrounds. But the wives would bring home the stories to their husbands about the exciting things they were learning, that the husband started to get intrigued and interested. And it's actually what led us to be in a couples Bible study. Every other week we get together as couples and do a Bible study together. All, Aaron and Ivan have joined in to the party along with all of our friends and their husbands, because there was this curiosity to say, we want to read the Bible on its own terms. What is the Bible actually saying? How do we all learn this together? Mm-hmm. And that journey has been an interesting one. You guys, any reactions or I'm just going to throw it out to anybody to be able to answer. Talk to us a little bit about the experiences overall. You guys have had a lot of different experiences in interacting with people from different faiths. What's been some of the most challenging parts of those conversations that you've had?
Well, I think for me, it's learning that people come at it always to the text, to the Bible, with different perspectives and different pieces to what they've always been taught. And it doesn't matter what faith background that is. People come to that with being pretty sure that they're right, including me, about different topics. Mm-hmm. And the ability to sit back and listen was something that I wasn't expecting was going to be as big of a part of my story in people with different faith backgrounds.
Well, and I can attest to that, because, I mean, when I first met you, Aaron, we kind of joke around about how you love being able to poke the bear. You're really good at, like, pushing on different beliefs because you know them fairly well and you've been fairly well studied in understanding people's belief systems. And in doing so, you could easily sit there and push on different beliefs, but that's not what God has called us to do. God has called us to be relational and to love well. And in doing so, I think you've learned, I mean, I'm speaking on your behalf, as a wife, to become one. But this idea of being able to listen and just pull yourself back from wanting to throw punches, I think it's so easy in a conversation with people that believe differently than you that you feel like I have to say all these things that are like against, to show you that I disagree with you. And your approach is, can you talk a little bit about your approach changing?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's similar to Ivan's story, is with people that believe differently than you, not everybody fits in a neat little box, right? People, even within the same faith tradition, will have several different views on different topics. And so coming into it with, well, you guys all believe this, or this set always believes that, actually isn't very helpful, because oftentimes they don't believe that, or they haven't thought about it enough to believe that. And that goes for traditional Christianity as well. And so I think that was a one of those pieces, as the conversations would get going, is realize that, hey, that not everybody's going to just fit in a grid.
Mm. So how do you deal with that? I mean, I love that point that maybe not everybody, even though they might put this title on themselves or go to that church building or whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean they all agree or they think what you think they think. So how do you discover then really where they're coming from? What tips do you have on that?
Well, asking questions is really important, because if you don't ask a question like, well, how did you come to that conclusion, or where do you get that belief from exactly? It helps me understand them better, and then helps me understand in my own life, well, would I give that same response? And so maybe I need to go back to the text. And one of the things I've loved about our Bible studies and the things that we've done is, well, let's see what the Bible has to say on its own terms. Mm-hmm. And whether I believe something or not, or whether somebody else believes something or not, how does the Bible describe what the answer should be? And how do I make sure I don't bring my own biases into the text? So it's made me be a lot more self-reflective about even my own beliefs.
So I've heard you talking about asking questions and listening, which I know are they go hand in hand, and they can be things that a lot of us can struggle with, right? But I'm curious, Ivan, have you experienced that as well? Is there anything else that you would add to that conversation? I know you like to ask questions. You like to learn. You're somebody who just loves to learn. How does that play out in engaging in relationships with people who believe differently?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, back to the original questions you had about what surprises you, you know, a couple things stand out. Number one, I'm surprised that anybody is willing to do it. And there is a desire for people to want to study the Bible and are interested in what other people believe.
That's a great point.
I was really surprised by that. I'm one of those people, like you said, I love to learn, I love to dig. I mean, the news is my jam. And so it wasn't a surprise to me that I would love to know what somebody else believed. Mm. I was surprised that other people wanted to know what I believed.
Mm.
And so that was pretty cool. That opened up neighbors real quick, because we got a lot of yeses when we asked people if they'd be interested in coming to a Bible study.
Yeah.
I was also surprised, kind of going off what Aaron said, on, you know, things that I thought, well, this is ridiculous. How could you believe this? Whether it's a different faith or my own faith that believed differently. Mm-hmm. And they had really good answers. And they came, and sometimes even people outside of our faith that came with my Bible verses and said, well, clearly it says right here. And which puts you back on your heels a little bit and go, oh, got to do some digging here, because this, I just read it different. I looked at it different. To listen is really important, because I had all the answers when I started. I have less answers now.
Yeah, you both said that.
No, that's well, that's fantastic. But it also means that what you both did was you dove into your Bibles to figure out what the answer is. And it may have not been the answer that you started with. What it did is it challenged you to understand and be confident in understanding God's word, which I think is phenomenal, because that's the gift. I mean, a lot of, you're right, it's very surprising people would say yes to this. What we're saying of doing this, this idea of interacting with people from different faiths, isn't your first like, yes, let me raise my hand and I'm going to run toward it, for both sides. Because it's uncomfortable, there's fear involved in it, and it can feel quite scary. But what you guys have gained out of it, it sounds like you guys have gotten to know your Bible better, you've gotten to understand who God is more deeply because of the challenge. Am I speaking out of turn, or would you say that's correct?
No, I would say that's right. And it really helped me focus more on, don't pick a verse that seems like a belief killer to somebody else. The Bible wasn't written in verses and chapters originally. That's a fairly modern invention. So it became really important that whether somebody's giving me a Bible verse or I'm giving somebody else a Bible verse to, you know, prove my point, well, what's the context around that verse? Is that even what that verse is trying to say? It becomes very dangerous to try to proof text somebody else or have somebody do that to you, because it's not really listening. And so that became, I think, one of the biggest thing I learned is, don't come with 10 or 15 verses that you think you're going to win or have a great argument. It's come to it and listen and understand what do these verses actually say and what did they originally mean to the people that heard it.
And not just, you know, there's the value of the Bible verses that we've dug into, the more about the Bible we've learned, and that's awesome. We've also become better and more involved neighbors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we look at the relationships that we've built around the people that we live with on a daily basis. Living in Utah today is much different than living in Utah 10 years ago, mm-hmm. before we started all this. And it's so much richer, and frankly, it's more fun than it used to be. So that's been a huge plus in being able to do this.
How is it different living in Utah today? What have you seen that's changed?
Well, we're the outsiders in Utah.
Yeah.
And you could feel that 10 years ago or 20 years ago when we first moved mm-hmm. here, it was obvious, and I didn't know any of my neighbors' names. I didn't know anything about mm-hmm. them. Good grief. We can't go anywhere now and not run into people that we know and know who they are, and they know who we are and are a part of the community. And I think, gosh, just walking up the steps at the local high school football game, and we're going to get somebody that says, oh, hey, Ivan, Sarah, you know, come sit over here. And we sit by our actual neighbors, and they're people that we enjoy
yeah.
and that are, man, they're neat people. So had we stayed in the same kind of vein that we were in 20 years ago when we first showed up, we would have sat by ourselves.
Right.
Well, and when you guys first moved here, I know we've shared part of the story, Sarah, but mm-hmm. when you guys both first moved here, the intent was to leave.
Yes.
And so there wasn't a motivation to go get to know your neighbor and to, in fact, I remember even talking to somebody, we were hanging out with a bunch of people in Minnesota, and we were talking about this idea of reaching out to your neighbor. And there was a few women that were like, you know what? We hadn't even thought about reaching out to our neighbors and talking with them, just because it's very easy mm-hmm. to get into the box of, these are my people, this is my community, these are the people I hang out with, and I'm not necessarily going to reach over the line and say hi to everybody else. But it sounds like it's actually been a good thing for you guys in how you've been able to interact with your neighbor and get to know your community even better.
For sure. As I was just reading this morning, I read Jonah, and because it makes me think, okay, why don't we do this? What reasons do we hesitate? Why do we not want to engage our neighbor in conversation around the Bible, in faith conversations? Mm-hmm. Why do we not want to do this? You know, and I have two examples. I have Moses and Jonas and Jonah. And Jonah, what I love about his story is his focus was more on, his focus was on other people, right? Like, These people don't deserve your mercy, or what is even our focus can be that way, whether it's other people and how might they respond, mm-hmm. how might they react.
No, yeah, Lord, you know, Lord, they don't want your message. These people are evil people. I don't want to deal with them.
The Assyrians were not kind people, or maybe you're just there's fear. There's fear in how other people might respond. Now Moses, on the other hand, his was more focused on himself. I don't know enough. I don't have the information. So I think there's all these kinds of fears that might keep us away from doing this. And I don't know if either of you have had any hesitations, or even, people that we might invite in. What hesitations might you think that people would have about doing a Bible study with people from a different faith background or different beliefs?
Well, I think one of the big things is I don't know enough.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's, I study the Bible very little, or maybe I've even studied a lot, or whatever the reason is. Mm-hmm. What if they have something that I don't know how to answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's the fear of that you have to know all the things in order to do that. And it doesn't matter who you are, or where you're from, that's a very real fear, because you want to meet your neighbors, but you also don't want to look like an idiot.
Right.
And I can imagine, and at least in my mind, that's how my brain would frame it.
Well, and I love that, because actually Moses was that in Exodus 3 and 4, where he's talking about, I'm not good enough. One of the things he says is, I don't know enough, Lord. Like I don't have enough of the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he's having a direct conversation with God, and he doesn't feel equipped enough. Like, no wonder it's such a natural fear for us to say, gosh, I don't know enough. And yet, like, Aaron, speak to that though, because there have been times people have asked you questions that you didn't have an answer to. How did you respond to it?
Well, I think it's important to tell them that, right? To tell them, hey, I don't have the answer right now, but I will, the next time we talk, I'll look it up and we can have a conversation about that later. And I think that's an easy way, even in a conversation with your neighbors that come over, you have a Bible study with them. They might ask a question, whoever you are, that you don't know the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
that's not the time to make something up on the spot or tell somebody what you feel like. It's probably better to say, hey, I don't know that answer, and it's okay that I don't know that answer, and I'm going to look it up, and I'm going to try to figure out an answer for you next time. That way it takes the pressure off of yourself to have all the answers all the time, even if you feel like you should.
Yeah. And that's kind of in our group that we've been going to collectively for a while. We give that grace both ways. Because we will ask questions. I know I've asked some pretty pointed questions going, wait a second, is this what you're saying? You know, is this, where do you get this? And giving the grace for them to go, you know, let me think about that. Let me get back to you. That if you can set that standard early in your group, where we're going to honor the friendship. We're going to honor the relationship we have. And I'm going to get back to you on that is an okay answer.
But, you know, you just talked about friendship. And I think that is key to being able to ask those kinds of questions and having a relationship where you're still friends at the end of the day. Speak to that. I mean, speak to the friendships that you've built or how important that is or establishing, you know, trust in relationships.
Oh, we've certainly had a lot of people in you know, groups, whether it's, you know, the couples groups or your single ladies groups that have come once, come many times. Mm-hmm. It's pretty clear the better relationship, the better friendship, the more sincere we are long term with our friends, the more that they come back and the more likely they are to be there week after week. These are people that if we stop doing, you know, generally they come every week, if we stop doing a Bible study, we would still be friends with when we hang out all the time. Mm. We like these people. They like us, amazingly.
Yeah, shocking that we still have friends after all this. No, it's true. We've built friendships. And Aaron, outside of our couples Bible study, I know you also meet with a bunch of other people and study the Bible from a bunch of different faith backgrounds. And one of the things you and I have talked about is how much you don't like to just dive right into the Bible with them, but you first want to get to know them. Can you talk about that? Because this just happened a couple weeks ago. You had some guys over and you were talking to them. And I don't think you guys talked about the Bible once during your Bible study.
You know, the last few minutes we sort of get there, but it's important when you have somebody you don't know, what's the first thing you typically want to do with somebody you don't know? You want to get to know them. Mm-hmm. And jumping at a Bible study or whatever other sort of study without getting to know who they are as people first means that everybody's going to have their guards up because everybody thinks that there's an agenda somewhere and they're not ready for that. So getting to know who the people are, what motivates them, what their families are like, where they're from, it really does help build this culture of trust in a conversation. You don't have to spend months getting to be somebody's friend to have this kind of conversation. You can do friendship in a small way just within an hour or two when they actually know that you care about who they really are and aren't just wanting them there to, you know, try to convert them to anything. Well, who are you? And you love the Bible. I love the Bible. We should talk about the Bible together and knowing that none of us know everything and go from there. Mm-hmm.
You know, this makes me think of some of the mistakes I know I've made in these conversations, over the past 10 years. And I think early on when I first started, it's like, oh, we're going to do a Bible study. I think I felt that I had to get all the truth out in, you know, the first day we met on the first Bible study. Like, there's this truth bomb you just smack them with, you know. And looking back, I'm like, wow, that is so awkward, Sarah. I see that now. But I'm curious from your guys' perspectives, what are there any mistakes that you've made along the way that you can share with us that might help someone else?
They're gonna say no.
Or were you
no? No.
They were pretty. We're perfect.
Pretty much perfect every time.
Yeah. Whatever.
No, there's always mistakes. There's always the pressure to come up with an answer that you think is right on the spot because you want to seem smart. I think that for me, that's always been one of my biggest weaknesses is I want to have an answer. And so here is one. And then after the conversation is over, I spend some time thinking about my answer, looking at my answer and realize I was dead wrong. Mm-hmm. So then trying to figure out the next time I have a conversation, how to back that off and understanding that there's a humble pie I have to eat and say, hey, I was wrong about what I thought. And so here is an answer that's better and more consistent. And so, but them seeing that authenticity that even if you're wrong, you're willing to correct yourself and come back to them and say, I was wrong. I've looked it up a little deeper. Here's an answer that I'm more comfortable with. It helps build that trust again. So even in the mistakes, you can use the mistakes to help build trust.
Mm. That's great.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go back to what I just said is the right thing to do. Giving each other grace when you land. I mean, because you're having Bible studies with people that believe differently. There are points where you can land a tough question. And I know looking back, there's times I should have probably just backed off. Let the question settle in them and let them wrestle with that instead of pushing for an answer. Maybe not so much in our Bible study where I'm friends with these people, because that's not something I would generally do to a friend. Maybe more with somebody that would knock on my door that I don't know, that I don't have a friendship with. Mm-hmm. Another part that I thought that's very easy for for people, if you're just starting this and want to figure this out, how do you build those friendships? Whether it's somebody that knocks on your door or a neighbor that's interested in doing a Bible study that we've done before and I think is great, is we started off with dinner. Mm-hmm. Before we had a Bible study, you break bread with people, you sit down, it's so much more relaxed. There are stories, you're laughing, and I can't, state how many times we learn things about people. And then in the Bible study, you can be even more direct. If there was a pain point in childhood, if there was one of your kids today that's going through something, and you can relate that, with who they are, it's a way to build some intimacy in that Bible study much more quickly.
No, I think that's fantastic. And even for a while, our couple's Bible study was hosting dinner with each other first before we would go into Bible study. And even if it wasn't that, just even having dessert with each other, that breaking of bread, the time for social time is not just because we really just want to hang out and talk. It's building relationship and trust and authenticity, because you're right, we are friends with these people outside of Bible study. And we do go to the volleyball games or the kids sports, or we went to a concert the other night with friends. This is just, we're living life with these people. And it just so happens that we also get the joy of also opening up our Bibles together. And so you want to have that trust and relationship to start. Mm.
Well, and if you're trying to do this with people who believe differently, it is important to find some common ground. Mm-hmm. So, and I love that's what you were talking about. You can find common ground in your values, in the way raising kids, and
music,
all kinds of
whatever,
things.
Yeah.
You can find this common ground. Now, we are incredibly lucky. The community that we do Bible study with is remarkable. I mean, these are wonderful people who we relate to
totally
very, very easily. So I'm grateful for our mm-hmm. community.
They're wonderful. Now, I am curious, guys. Number one, obviously, I think you're gonna answer this question correctly.
good luck.
You better.
Pressure's on.
Would you recommend this? Or let me even rephrase it maybe a better way is, if you are recommending that this is something that you encourage people to do, is to enter into Bible study, what advice would you give as part of this journey? What are things that you would recommend? You've already listed off a few, but these are kind of parting words to our community to help them as they enter into Bible study with people that believe differently.
Well, 100%. I think people should do this. People should try this. We had some friends that were in our group and they left and moved out of state. And I remember him coming back and saying, oh, our old, we're in a standard Bible study that we've had before. It's so boring. And I thought, yeah, it's boring because you're homogenous. There's no challenge. I love this. I think it's way more interesting. I'm way more excited to have Bible study, and when Sunday rolls around, I'm much more interested in what we're going to talk about. So, I would definitely say do that. For my advice for somebody is just give yourself grace. You're going to give your friends grace, give yourself grace. This is going to be kind of hard. It's going to be awkward at the beginning as you figure this out. I know, Sarah, what you experienced is what almost all of us experienced, where you feel in the first week you have to make every truth claim that you think is out there. And we've certainly had people from other faiths that have been in, you know, my living room that have done the same thing. And we kind of smile because it's like, all right, you're new. You're trying to put your flag in the ground and make sure that everything that you believe is there. And it's like, okay, we're going to let you do that. Mm-hmm. And then when you settle down, we're going to open the Bible and we're going to see what it has to say.
Yeah.
And then you relax a little bit, and I know that we've gotten great questions and great feedback from people that have gone, boy, I've never seen that before. I didn't read that before. We've had just things that I'd never thought we'd have the opportunity to hear from people that really learned. And we're the same way, that we've learned things about the Bible that we go, boy, you have to dig in another layer deeper, and that's going to benefit everybody.
Right. Like, I know we've gotten asked, I've gotten asked questions that I don't think I would have ever gotten asked before in a traditional, maybe more traditional Bible study. Like, you know, what does it mean that you're created in the image of God? Well, gosh, we hear that all the time. What does that mean? Let me think about my answer.
Yeah, we got to look that one up. All right, Aaron. So would you recommend doing Bible studies as he's doing them actively? Would you recommend it? And what advice would you give?
Everything I haven't said.
No, you can't do that. Oh,
so I was right.
You were right.
Oh, goodness.
See, he was right.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, I would very much recommend it because it stretches your own comfort zone. It stretches your own faith. It makes you not have the Sunday school answer of, you know, Jesus, which is a good answer, but it actually makes you deepen your own faith. And one thing that's fascinating about the Bible is when people are interested in studying the Bible oftentimes will speak for itself as you uncover how it was written and to who it was written and the meaning of all of it tied together. It becomes a very fascinating study for everybody to see that this is telling this unified story of God who wants to have a relationship with us. And who wouldn't want to be a part of helping ourselves and helping other people discover that story to have a relationship with who God is?
And what advice would you potentially throw out there?
Advice, don't give up after the first week or two when it's hard.
Mm.
I mean, relationships take time to build. And just like your best friends that you all know or have known in your past, you didn't build a great friendship in an hour. It takes time. And so stick with it for a while, and like Ivan said, because he was right, give yourself and others the same grace you want to have somebody give you. And if you do that, the conversations are super easy.
I'm going to say, too, cheat. And Cara has put out some things. I'll give a shameless plug.
Thank you.
That lists, hey, here's some ground rules that we should have.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm starting this off brand new, I'm going to grab that and read through it in the group. Mm-hmm. That way, everybody knows, okay, hey, here's where we're at. It's going to lower the temperature in the room a little bit. And everybody go, okay, we're fine. We're fine. I think it will happen naturally very quick as long as everybody knows, hey, here's what we're going to do. You're going to run into people on both sides. I don't care what two people you put in there that are going to be there to try to make their point and convert the person in the next half hour. Let Cara help you out because they've done a lot of the hard work for you.
I love that you brought that up because we need to remember all that. Although we maybe have been doing Bible study for years and maybe you have too, that doesn't mean your neighbor has ever done a Bible study. They may have no idea. When they're coming in that first time, they have no idea what to expect, what's going to happen. They may be nervous. You know, so have some of those conversations, lay down some of those kind of guidelines like, hey, here's what to expect when we do this. Mm-hmm. And again, be humble, be a humble learner alongside them.
Yeah. So if you have tips or want the tips and tricks that we've mentioned, and thankfully, you guys, it's like you've read our neighbor guide. If you do want to have more insight on how to study the Bible with your neighbor, we have the neighbor guide. It's on our website, easy to download so that you can access the 10 top tips on how to engage your neighbor well. It also has these guidelines that Ivan spoke to that help really set the right expectation for people that are new, that are coming into your group so that it does lower that temperature. You know, I just want to thank you guys for joining us on the podcast. I know this isn't your favorite thing to get on in front of a microphone, but I appreciate you taking the time to do it. You know, if you liked what you heard today, you want to learn more, make sure that you are like, subscribing, and commenting on this. We love hearing from you. And join us next time as we continue to build confidence in studying the Bible on your own and with your neighbor. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about The Carr Project, visit us at thecarrproject.com. This podcast is listener-supported, so if you'd like to support, head on over to our website and click Give.